are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Okay, so you're living in California?
California, man, the place to be,
Which part of California they got you tied down now for a while?
Well, I live here by Pasadena, you know.
Oh, okay. I know that area very well. I lived in Venice Beach and Santa Monica, and I went to school at Cal Poly Pomona.
I used to go down there
to school, if you're living by Pasadena, you're off the 210?
Yeah, off the 210. That's right. Yep.
Oh, okay. And then have you lived there very long?
I lived here since, I lived in a couple different places, but the place that I live right now is since 2001. So, yeah, quite a bit.
Okay, so you've been there for a while.
Yeah, well, I moved in California in 1998, January of 1998. That's when I came
here.
What
brought you here? Did you want to come live the dream?
The dream of rich and famous, buff and strong. I came to be a trainer, basically. That's why. Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you get the certification here or in Romania or both?
No, I was too young in Romania. I was... I lived in, Michigan for a while, but I came to the U.S. when I was 12. So I came to California when I was 19.
Oh, okay.
So at the age of 19, I came to California, and I've been here ever since. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Quite a bit. And so how do you like the area that you're living in?
I mean, I lived here for a long time, so I suppose I must love it. Yeah, I love it. No, it's nice. It's good weather, you know. I mean, I like the heat. So I lived in Michigan where it was, you know, cold, and Romania was cold. So I just kind of got fed up with the cold. I'm like, I need some heat, man.
You
know, I want the sun.
I understand that. I mean, when I was going to Cal Poly, I was living in West Covina. Have you heard of West Covina?
Yeah, it's close. Yeah. Of course, West Covina.
It's not far away. It's off the... I think so. 605 and right off that.
I used to drive back and forth.
I live 200 miles away. I live 200 miles north of you.
Oh, okay. What
in
are
the
you?
Valley. You know where Bakersfield, Fresno, Bakersfield area?
Of course.
Yeah, I'm
of
in
course.
The Central Valley. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have a lot of good friends in Bakersfield.
Okay. But when I was in my late 80s, when I was doing all my bodybuilding, I was actually living... Well, after I got out of school, I came back, but I actually down there, I was living in a hotel, and I can't think of the damn name of the hotel, but it was really close to Gold's Gym. I assume that you've trained at Gold's?
Yeah, I train at Gold's every now and then, you know, probably not as much as I would like to. You know, I live about, half an hour, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
But, you know, with traffic, it's like an hour and a half, you know, 2 hours.
Yeah,
so,
it's a nightmare.
So it seems like... It should be close, and I'm actually sometimes going like I'm surprised I'm not there much more. But I lived here since 1998, and I think I trained at Gold's maybe three times with Michael Hearn, and then maybe another two more times besides that. That's about it. I actually haven't been. It's surprising. Yeah, so, I haven't done that.
Where do you train in Pasadena? Do you train at Gold's in Pasadena?
I mean, I've always had my own studio, so I've always trained in my own place. I've always trained in my own place. But I've trained at different gyms, you know. I like to kind of go in, you know, like bar hopping, but this is, you know, gym hopping, right?
Gym hopping, I got you.
Yeah, so sometimes it's nice to go and do that.
So do you train your clients at your house then?
I train my clients, no, not at my house, at my studio. So
your own business?
Yeah, I'm actually in there right now. I'm in my own studio.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How's this thing impacted you? Are you still able to train clients?
I mean, no, not really, because, you know, it's not that I don't want to train. I could train them. It's a one-on-one facility. But, you know, people, the government got everybody so scared that they don't even want to get out of the house. It's like, you know, which I don't really get it, but, you know.
I'm 100% with you. I totally agree with you. I'm at my studio, and I'm still open. I mean, you know, one of the things I did a little bit is I went on Instagram just a little bit because I took heat for being open, but I was compliant. You know, I've been compliant. They said 10 or less people. It's by appointment only. You know where I'm going with this thing,
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
now, one of the,
yeah.
One of the things that I did that really made it, if you want to call it more legit or not, I don't know. I actually I do rehab training for people who've had strokes or accidents.
Okay.
So that makes me essential, you know, based on the letter of the law, I'm actually essential, which I think that's an arbitrary term that they're using, because what makes, you know, I wonder, is Starbucks really an essential? You know, there's just some things here that are just goofy.
It's like saying certain people still can make a living, the rest go ahead and starve and figure it out.
No kidding. I think it's ridiculous.
We'll send you $1,000 if you... Yeah. You know, somehow qualify. Yeah. If not, have a great day. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, look, I obviously don't want to be the one speaking about that. That's the, you know, beyond my pay scale. So
yeah, it's just the way it is. Yeah. I think we're getting close to coming out of this thing, based on what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hoping. Hopefully, you know, probably maybe the 15th of next month or so. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. I see here where you're the founder of West Coast Bootcamp. What is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's gone now, so it's not anymore West Coast Bootcamp. But West Coast Bootcamp, it was like an outdoor a fitness program. But uh-huh. then we had a small studio also that we used to do, you know, we used to train clients personally, like personal training, you know, one-on-one, nutrition counseling, all of that. So I owned that gym for about 12 years.
Yeah.
And then I let that go, and I actually started a supplement company, GNA, Go Natural Athlete, which uh-huh. That was something that I focused on. Also, I still have the company, but now I actually went back to training, and I have a small studio that's called Impact Fit Body, okay. which again, we still offer, you know, small classes and then also personal training. So, you know, more like individualized programs instead of just a big gym, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I always like the, I've been in 38 years now, and I've always done the smaller studios. It's like I've had the one I'm in right now is about 2,500 feet, you know, keep it small. And I quite like that much better than the big giant training, the gyms, you know. I just prefer that myself. How did you get your background in training? I know you got certified and everything, but how did you get into this? First of all, training. And then I see here you started competing in 2009, but how did you get into training and all that?
Long story, but basically I started when I was young, you know. So at the age of 14, I started training, and I really enjoyed, you know, lifting, where before that I was just playing soccer and just, you know, regular sports. But about 14, I started lifting. I got into bodybuilding, not necessarily bodybuilding, but I guess in my head, I was thinking I was bodybuilding. But at that point, I was doing Mickey Mouse stuff. I was just lifting weights, right? Just kind of trying to figure it out. But in my head, I was the, you know, badass bodybuilder, right?
Sure.
So I got into that. And then probably I think I was 18, I started going to a gym, a local gym there, which I never been to a big gym. I always used to train at the high school gym, right?
Okay.
So, So I went to this gym, and I would, you know, just really, I was focused, you know, very focused kid, you know, like I'm here to, you know, I mean business. I always was trying to challenge myself, and you know, how can I get to the next level and all of that. Trying to understand nutrition. And I was leaving the gym with my training partner one night, and the manager says, "Hey Adrian, we're looking for trainers. How would you like to be a trainer?" And I was like, "Yeah," I'm like, "That's funny." I'm like, "Trainer? Like, what is that?" You know, I was actually in the process of going to a college at the same time as I was finishing my high school to become an engineer, right? So I was working for a company as an intern, as a mechanical engineer. And it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, being Romanian, you know, everybody wants you to have a title, like, you know, a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, yeah. some type of a title. If you yeah. don't have that, then, you know, technically you're not really anybody, right? So this lady tells me this, this manager, she goes, oh yeah, you know, we need you to be a trainer. We'd love to have you as a trainer. I'm like, yeah, yeah, sure. And I'm like, look, I'm just doing this for fun. It's just a hobby. I'm just enjoying this. You know, this, yeah. this is easy fun for me, you know? And she says, well, exactly. Now think about this. Imagine doing what you love and making money. And
good,
you know,
point.
At that time, I didn't think about it, but you know, if you think about it, she was a good salesman. Like, she goes, I'm going to yeah. get this guy. Right. So, and I was like, really? I'm like, I'm still laughing. I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, I don't know who's making money as a trainer, but whatever. Right. And she goes, well, you know, there's a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people make money here, but you know, you can eventually move to, like, you know, Florida, California, to the big city and make, you know, pretty good money. And yeah. I really was very, like, you know, wet behind the ears. I had no idea what's going on. So I'm like, you know, I don't know. We'll see, maybe. And I left. And I went home that night and I sat in bed and I was thinking, like, I really enjoy having, I'm having fun with this. You know, like, this is easy yeah. for me. And I'm like, I can get paid. So I went back and I asked the girl, I said, you really, I can make money doing this? She goes, yeah, man, you can do it and we'll hire you right now. I'm like, okay, well, she said, I'll have you meet the owner and then we'll go from there. So there was a bodybuilding competition happening in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that same weekend. And she goes, how about you meet me at the show, because the owner is going to be there and you can meet him there. And since you love bodybuilding anyway, you know, it would probably be a good place to meet. Yeah. So I went there and I sat down, and do you know that the manager, actually the owner gets to sit right in front of me, and I'm like, what a coincidence. Okay, this is fun. So I meet the guy and we don't talk too much, but he's like, hey, look, if you really I love to have you, you know, be a trainer. My manager's been talking highly about you. You should come in tomorrow and let's talk. So it was like a Sunday, right? So I said okay, sure. We finished the show, we go, and I meet him on Sunday morning. I go to the gym, there he is. He's like, okay, let's walk around this gym a little bit. So he shows me around the gym a little bit, and we finish walking around as he's kind of explaining to me, you know, a couple of different things. And we get back to the front desk and he goes, okay, well, I guess we can see you tomorrow. We can start tomorrow, right? You ready? And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, wasn't this an interview? Like, don't we have to interview? He says, oh, you've been interviewed a long time ago. You're good to go. We're just going to send you to Powerhouse Gym. We're going to get you certified. We're going to take you through their whole course. And then you'll come back in 2 weeks. And then we'll actually have you work here. So I'm like, okay, so sure. So then I have to, but then I have to go and tell my parents now. So my parents have no idea. They don't know.
Yeah.
Now that wasn't.
I'm sure that was going to be, that's a big shock, right?
No, that was like the best conversation. Imagine your parents want you to be a doctor, lawyer, and I'm going to be a trainer. And they go,
What?
Yeah, they're looking, yeah, you don't even want to know the stuff that they were saying. Like, what type of a job is that? Like, who makes yeah. any money in that, you know, right. type of a job? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, maybe not, but I really love this. And it seems like to me is something I want to do. And I'm going to do it. And, yeah. you know, they were mad at me for many, many months. You know, they're like, I can't believe you're doing this and that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did it anyway. And I show up next day. I go and I go through the training for a couple of weeks. I come back and I find out that I'm getting paid about $5 an hour.
Wow.
I was like,
that's child abuse.
Well, I suppose you could say that. Well, at this point, I was 18, so I guess it's not even child abuse, right? So it's like, you're legal. We can definitely take it.
Oh, man.
But no, it wasn't even. In 1997 in Michigan, you would not, there was really no personal trainers. And even the personal trainers that were there, they weren't getting paid that much, right? So he said, yeah, so I started doing that, but I made like very little money, barely any. So I saw the salespeople are the ones that are making the money. And I said, hey, look, like, make a deal. I'll keep training, but you're going to have to let me sell. And if I can sell, then you have to let me take over the sales force. And the guy goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay, sure, we'll let you sell. And, you know, I was so gung-ho about it because I'm like, those guys make money. These guys don't. I'm still personal training, but I have to make sure that I'm making money, right? Because otherwise, right. Like, my parents are going to, you know, they're going to make fun of me. Like, what are you doing?
They're going to be right.
And exactly. And you don't want your parents to be right, even though they're right. In a sense, they were, at that point, they were a little right, you know?
Yeah.
So I became really good at sales, and I actually ended up managing both gyms that they had as a sales manager. And I ended up making, you know, the most sales out of everybody. Yeah. I got really focused, you know. So I was there for probably 6 months, and eventually I quit that, and I came to Arizona. I moved to Arizona by myself once I left school. And Arizona, I was there for 3 months. It didn't really work out for me. So then I came to California in January of 1998. Took me about probably 150 applications, and 3 months later to finally get a job as a trainer. And then from there, it just basically history.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Your story is similar to mine. When I was from, I'm Portuguese, and in our culture, we're in the dairy business. A lot of Portuguese people are in the dairy industry and it's like the idea is you pass it down to the next generation.
Yeah.
And I was an athlete all my life. And I mean, I ended up on the dairy because that's what we're supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
I was in LA at the time, going to Cal Poly and everything. But you know what, Adrian, I knew after a couple of years, I knew that it was just like, it was going to be a nightmare. Nothing worse than, as you know, I'm sure, or can imagine, to go to a work that you just don't want to be there. I mean, it's like everything's, yeah. And I just told myself, I made a promise to myself. I said, you know, if I ever get a shot at something that gave me that, because I loved being an athlete, and I was on scholarship and all that, and I promised myself that, because I realized I made a mistake. And I made a promise, if I ever got something that gave me that juice, you know, that buzz, I wouldn't question it. I would just jump. Well, one of my old school friends saw me after so many years. He goes, what the hell happened to you? Because after I went to the dairy, I got out of shape, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what the hell? I go, what the hell you mean? What the hell happened to me? you don't realize sometimes how bad a shape you're in because you're in denial. But he woke me up. I thought, oh my God, you know? So anyway, I got into it. I, you know, and once I competed, that first show that I did, I was talked into doing that show.
You got the itch, huh?
This is it, you know? Yeah. And I started thinking, like, when I was at the gym training, people were asking me questions about diet and things like that, you know? And I thought, wait, you know, maybe there's something here. And during those days, not one person was doing personal training. I mean, nobody. In fact, right. The next closest person was probably either Fresno, maybe Bakersfield, for sure LA. But yeah. No, when I said I was a trainer, they said, you mean you're a aerobics instructor? So no, I'm actually, no.
Yes, I have my tights on right now. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, you're proof, and so am I actually, that when you're motivated and when you're focused to do something and you have passion for it, it's amazing what kind of things can happen, huh?
Yeah, I mean, really, you can do anything, really. I mean, if you really,
it's true.
Yeah, anything. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. You can sell pens. You can sell water. You can sell whatever. Yeah. If you really want to do it and you have your mind set on that, I mean, the things that we can achieve is just incredible.
Remarkable. It's really true. You know, I talk about a lot of times. I talk about the motivation being greater than the obstacle, but it goes even further than that because, and you probably can relate to this being in the sport that you're in. As I am, is that there's days that you're not motivated, but then that's when you rely on your discipline, you know? So it's motivation, overcoming the obstacle, but at the end of the day, having that discipline, because it doesn't really matter how you feel that day, or if you're not feeling well, none of that matters, you know? That's the kind of mindset that you get into. I would assume that was the way you thought.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I come from basically not much. So when I came to LA, you know, anywhere, it didn't matter, I guess, what I was going to go. I wanted to be, you know, successful, and I just wanted to do better than where I was. You know, I guess I was, I guess, as they call it, hungry, right?
Yeah.
So I was hungry, and I said I will do whatever it takes to, you know, be as, you know, to the best that I can, you know, or be the best that I can possibly be. So, yeah, I mean, all that mindset goes in every aspect of our life, really, not just the training, because the training really like instills that in you. And if you can take that from your training, that mindset, to your private life or to anything else in your life, I mean, you just the
applies.
I guess it's,
It applies. I talk to my, you know, I have young people that work around. I like being around young people. Young, I mean, they're in their 30s.
Keeps you young, well, is that what you're saying?
You know, yeah, well, it does, but it also gives me, you know, I can see where they are and how I was, you know, then. And I tell them, I said, so much of life is kind of the same but different. But if you have this discipline, that's the reason why I tell people, not only being an athlete, but bodybuilding took it to another level as far as, it you know, it takes so much to get to the stage. You know, it takes so much work, so much sacrifice, and a lot of people don't realize that. But boy, what a life lesson that it's taught me, and it's saved me over the years, you know? And now I'm almost 65, and I feel great to this point, and I'm lucky that I was able to do that. But you have to have that. I can tell by the way you talk already, you're that kind of person that has like this, you know, this, it's kind of in you. And you have this motivation, and you're just going to make it happen no matter what. Not everybody has that. You know that, right?
No, of course I know that. Yeah, and I see it all the time also, you know, with, you know, different people that I've worked through, you know, in the past. You have to be hungry. I mean, the hunger you have to keep, it's like you got to keep the candle lit. And if you let it go out, then, you know, you may not be able to light it because you may not have matches, right? Or you may not have a lighter, right? So you have to keep that hunger, you know. However, you got to dig deep or whatever you got to do, you need to have that hunger. Yeah, without the hunger, you're going to relax. You're going to kind of, you know, go off in the wrong direction. So, yeah.
So how long was it before you went back to your mom and dad or have you and said, look, I made it?
Well, actually, I never did that because I felt like I didn't need to say that. I suppose they can decide if I have what if I haven't. But my goal wasn't to go back and tell them that I made it. I just knew it wasn't about necessarily that I made it for them or whoever. It was like I had to feel like I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And if I made it, well, great. If I didn't, it was still my choice and my, you know, life path that I was taking. So it wasn't, you know, necessarily saying, no, I'm going to go and, you know, what they say is that if you become successful, then that's the best way to show somebody that you made it.
Overwhelming success. Yeah.
Yeah. And at that point, you don't really have to tell nobody, you know, like if you're competing and you're winning, you don't need to put it in anybody's face. They can see you winning. They can see, you know, how you look, what you're doing. It's the same thing, but success. So.
Yeah. I think the reason that you did it was more important. I was kind of playing with you, you know.
Usually I would, you know, at some point you think like, maybe I should go and tell them. Right. But then you kind of go, well, I think they can see. And if they can't see, then, you know, it doesn't matter what I say anyway. But no, I get it. Yeah. Mostly it is like that. Right. Like I'm going to show them. Right.
Yeah. But you did it for the right reason for yourself. That's more important, actually. Yeah.
Because in the end, it's like we are living our own life, you know. So you have to go through the through the highs and lows and, you know, all the tough times on your own, no matter what. So,
I agree. Yeah. Hey, so how did you now, I know that now I know how you got into weight training and the business, but okay. Who challenged you or how did you decide to start competing? What was that about?
Who challenged me? Actually, it was kind of funny. I've always trained and I've always, you know, train like I was competing in a sense. That was kind of my mindset. But I never competed, right? Until one of the trainers that used to work for me, he says, hey, Adrian, I'm very excited. I want to get ready for a show. He said, I competed before and I want to do it again. But I want to do it naturally, not, you know, using drugs or anything. He goes, I'm not into using drugs, so I want to do it naturally. So I said, well, let me look around. Let's see if I can find a place that does this natural shows, and we'll go from there. So I knew a gentleman that actually competed before with the IMBA, And I called him and I said, hey, what are the shows? There's still, you know, natural shows you can compete and all this. And he goes, oh, yeah, there's this organization, you know, IMBA, PMBA. They have amateur, they have professional level, and you should look them up. So, you know, I went on their website. I checked it out. I looked at, you know, the rules. I'm like, oh, it seems pretty self-explanatory. You know, I think that this is good. So I showed him and he goes, okay, I'm going to do it. And then he said, you know, you should do it with me. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Let me think about it. Well, about a week later, I come back. I go, okay, I think I'm going to do it with you. Let's do it together. I think it'll be, you know, it was good for me. It was good for him.
Yeah.
We trained hard together. We pushed each other. I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. So
yeah.
we got ready together and we showed up to the first show, which it was in Hollywood. It was Mr. California. It was, I think, in like June of 2009. Uh-huh. And we went to that show and, you know, I remember I'm like, so like scared, I'm confused. I'm like, what am I doing here? What's going on? You know, did I do everything right? Whatever, whatever. The same as anybody else, right? They're there for the first time. I never been on stage. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have a hard time.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to be in my speedos, right? So, yeah. So anyway, he got me into it and we showed up to the show and we both did well. I ended up winning my novice open and then I won the overall. And I was like, okay, I think I should be able to do this. I kind of like it. So I left and from there, you know, I said, you know, I'm going to keep doing this. And that's from there, just here I am still competing.
Yeah.
You know?
And based on the information I got from you, that the rest is also history. The guy that you, the guy that you, competed with, is he still around? Is he still competing?
He competed, I think the last time, he didn't compete after that. And then he competed again in another show, maybe a couple of years later. And then he did a show in 2017. And yeah, he's still around. He's, I think, in the Northern California by Sacramento. Yeah. And he still trains. He's not competing, but he still trains and he, you know, he stays healthy. He trains people and all that too. Yeah.
Now, the IMBA, PMBA at that time, I'm assuming that Denny was he the boss then?
Yeah. Well, Denny's always been the boss of IMBA. So yeah, he was the boss. And Diana and the whole family, pretty much same.
Okay.
Same thing. And believe it or not, the reason why I came back to compete and the reason why I actually kept competing and even competed only with IMBA, just the family feel that I felt like when I was there, like, I, you know, cause usually they talk about like, oh, when you go to the shows, you know, you may get people that don't talk to you or they're, you know, they get into fights and all this. Like, it was just fun. I'm like, wow, this, I can, you know, like I felt like I'm at home. It just felt good. You know, all the athletes were talking to me.
And, much different feel.
Yeah, just such a great feeling. And I'm like, I think I'm going to keep coming here. And I came back again. I competed that same year again at the Universe, which was, again, the same thing in Hollywood. And then competed again and again. And, you know, obviously you saw my
I got tired reading your wins. I had to take a break. I had to go outside for a moment.
You're like, this is bullshit. Yeah. You're like, no way, he's lying about this.
I can tell that you're not.
Yeah, thank you. But it's, I mean, it's just been like, now I feel like I have this, you know, I guess as we call it, fifth family, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been with, you know, with IMBA, Denny, Diana, the whole family. I've been around the world with them competing overseas even and, you know, different places here. So it's been, it's been just amazing, you know. I have a lot of respect for them and I just love everybody that I compete with. You know, we're all in the same mindset. It's just a cool environment. Like I miss it when I'm not around, you know?
Yeah. Now, yeah. And I can see that because I come from a different time. Those times that you're talking about, I saw a lot of that athletes getting pissed and throwing their trophies and You know, right. It was different. So, yeah, so when I was at the Vegas, you know, I had a booth there. I don't know, did you come by? Did I meet you?
I'm not sure. I might have. I don't think we really met because it seemed like you're busy. Like everybody was just kind of going, hey, why?
Yeah,
I
so damn many. Yeah.
I did 5 different categories. So,
so you were busy.
To say straight, I was too busy, didn't even know.
Yeah, and that was kind of the same way. You know, that was my first event because I retired from all this. And I got back in because, you know, 13 or 14 years later, you know, I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. I don't like some of the stuff that I'm seeing on Google News with some of these trainers. You know, that got me fired up again. Anyway, so I ended up in Vegas, of all places. I didn't know anything about the IMBA, PMBA.
Yeah.
But, you know, something that is exactly how you're describing what went on was I was like in that booth, in my booth, I thought something's different about this environment. And I'm not sure if I can trust it. You know what I mean?
Exactly how I felt the first time, right? Yeah, the first time I looked the same, and then I go, no, this is real. Like, all these people are just amazing people. They all have the same mindset. We're all there to support each other. I think even, like, we were, you know, some people were helping each other, you know, with the tanning. And I helped, you know, a number of different people. There was a kid at the show where it was his first time. He's confused about the water. He goes, oh, I haven't been eating for like a whole week. I'm like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, what is, you know? But, you know, it's like his first time. So, like, we all, like, you know, trying to help each other. So it's a great family atmosphere, man. I really love it. And I've had even people ask me, like, you know, why don't you go to other organizations? I'm like, why would I leave an organization that I love? Like, why would I skip to all these different organizations? I have great experiences, and I enjoy the, you know, all the athletes. Like, every time we go to a show, like, it's like a reunion again. Hey, how you been? It's like,
I can see it. No, I can see awesome, it. I mean, man, when I was there, it happened right from the beginning. The minute I was in that booth, Nora, you know who Nora is, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Nora came over. Yeah, exactly.
I love it what Nora says. It's like, if you don't know who Nora is, it's like you've been under a stone. Well, she says exactly. About other athletes, but she's amazing.
Yeah, Nora's awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, of course, Denny came by. And, you know, then I finally put a finger on it. I thought, you know, it's about these people that are here in this building are doing it for the love of the game. And that's the way it should be. Everything else comes with that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's day or that night when it was all done, I actually had a long talk with Denny. I'm actually collaborating with Denny on some other things. Because I told Denny, I said, I want to be a part of Ironman as much as you want me there, because I think this is the right thing to do, you know, and I've been in it long enough to see the differences. And I really do agree with that. So you also, I see here that you started judging for them. Is that right? You're a head judge?
Yeah, I started judging and then I became a head judge for them. So I actually been head judging for them since like 2014, maybe 2014.
Yeah.
I mean, I've judged so many shows, and basically I think competitors that judge me or judges that judge me, I ended up judging them and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so it's been funny because, you know, I used to be afraid of all the judges because I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm the athlete. I don't know what they think. You know, I always have to feel like a certain way. And then I realized, like, you know, judges are the same as, you know, everybody else. They're just there trying to do a job that, you know, it's not a very easy job, but
And I would think most of them are like you. They've been on stage before. Now they're judging. I mean, everybody, you know, but I bet you most of them, right?
No, pretty much everybody that's a judge, they've been on the other side also. I would, even if we don't know, almost everybody that's judging, they've been on the stage themselves, or like I said, vice versa. They used to judge me for many years, and then all of a sudden now I end up judging them. And it's like just a very different dynamic when you go, oh my God, now I got to judge that person. But it just, you know, it's just a fun, like I said, it's a fun atmosphere. We all, even if you're a judge, I think a lot of athletes, you know, get very scared. But what they don't realize is that, look, we are on stage also, and we understand that same feeling. We understand that you have to be fair with everybody no matter what, because you may end up being on stage against that person. You know, now that person ends up being a judge, and now what's going to happen? So in the end, it's all about – IMBA has always been about fairness, always about, you know, doing the best that they can to give you – the most, you know, the show that's as fair as it can be, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
Again, you know, there's always going to be, it's never perfect, but it never was meant to be.
Well, if you're not placing first, you're not happy. So it doesn't matter, right? That, like,
yeah, exactly.
Who's happy? The person that places first. Anybody else?
Exactly. Or
technically,
yeah.
It's horrible.
It's a tough sport that way.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, when I first came into the sport, I was all about being natural, you know, and I still believe in that. I was faced, for me, I got to a point, I was a little bit frustrated, and I'll tell you why. Back then, it was like I was competing in natural shows, and as I was around longer, I could tell that some of the people that were I was competing against weren't natural. And it was like, okay, you know, that's fine. They're beating the test. You know, you get smarter about this stuff, and you start understanding, and you can tell it's a look with some of the guys that you can tell they're on. Fine, okay. So for somebody like me who wanted to compete at a higher level, I made a decision to start using. Okay. I just went on, and that's the path that I took. But here's my question for you. How is it that you, and I know that the IMBA, PMBA, I'm sure that they do enough testing, and how do you really know that these guys, cause I have to be honest with you, Adrian, that quality of the athlete. And I do know that with evolution, the athletes have gotten better naturally. I get that because they're better at training. They're better at nutrition. I got that. But you're always going to have those guys that want to beat the system.
Don't tell me about that. I just had somebody that happened to me at the Natural Olympia. So don't tell me about that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So how is that dealt with? And because, you know, I mean, I'm going to guess that you probably know that this person is not, they're not being legit.
Well, you can usually kind of tell on, you know, a couple different, you know, ways, but, you know, you're never 100%, you know, anyway. But even if you look at all the natural athletes, obviously, you know, they're not 280 pounds, 300 pounds, you know, ripped and cut,
right.
You know, so it's a different look. So
yes.
When you're looking at them, like, you know, they're, even some of the guys that probably take it, they probably don't realize that they're ruining the body and they're not even getting that big, you know, which pretty much most of them do ruin their body that does it the wrong way. Cause they don't really probably understand the correct way of doing it either. And you know, for me, I never cared to take any drugs just because I see that there's so much health risk to it, you know? So it defeats the whole purpose of saying, I want to be as healthy as I can, but then I'm taking drugs. Now, I don't have a problem with the people that do. If you want to do it, you do it. But just don't say you're natural. Don't run around telling everybody, look at me, bro. I'm natural. I'm natural. Then you're a liar. Then you're really a liar.
Yeah.
So if you do it, look, go and do it. I don't have a problem with you. You know, do your thing. Go and compete against the guys that do it. It's not a problem with me. And I've even, you know, trained in the past with guys that do, and I have no problem with that. That's not the problem that I have. I have the problem with you saying I'm natural, but you're taking drugs, and then you're coming to take the glory of the guys that are actually training hard as a natural. Now, you know, like I said, if you want to do it, do your thing. Have fun.
Yeah.
It's not what's it to me to tell you what to do? You know, you can decide. You can make that choice. And but go do, there's so many other shows that you don't have to look at. An IMBA, PMB, you get put on the Hall of Shame. Do you really want to be on
that? Oh yeah, I heard about that.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, they do. Yeah,
yeah.
There's guys that just got put on there from last year, you know?
Yeah.
And they all run around like, I'm natural, bro, I'm natural, I'm natural. It's like, look, I can see a couple of reasons why you're not, but that's fine. Let's find out where the test comes. And sure enough, the test comes out and they're not natural, you know.
Are they testing all the guys like at every show? Do they test like the top three, or is it random?
Well, there's different ways. Random, top three. Some, there's been many shows where everybody got tested. It doesn't matter who you are.
And so there's no like really uniform way of doing it, because that's when the guys can start beating the test.
Well, that's kind of what you want. You don't want to do it necessarily uniform.
Exactly.
You know, here's another thing about IMBA. They will come and test you even if you're not competing. Or let's say you go to a show and you're not competing, well, you're going to get tested anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
just
I like
because,
that.
Yeah, so they do random testing like that also. But yeah, I feel like, you know, when you random test people, then you'll catch, you know, more people. But also, you know, there are those people that just are going to cheat no matter what. That happens anywhere in life. So people say, how do you deal with that? Well, you're going to just have to deal with it. It doesn't matter. If you are in school, people are going to cheat. If you are in business, somebody's going to cheat. If you are competing. So look at the way I look at it. I'm doing this for my own health. I want to stay healthy. And if you want to do things, you know, in another way, and you want to take drugs, look, so be it. Do your thing. But it's all about me when I train and I compete and all that. It's about me being as healthy as I can and not focusing on, well, what is this guy doing? What is that guy doing? If you do and you get caught, well, then that's your problem.
Yeah, and I told Danny there, I said, look, because I don't know if you saw, I did a little speech up there on stage. Our company actually sponsored the Pro Money.
Yes.
And I said something, a few words, and I said, you know, the thing about it is this, I've been on both sides of that, and I told Danny, I said, this sport like this will go, the chances of it really expanding and becoming less than a cult sport, because the sport as it is right now, and I was on that side of it, it will always remain in a cult status. And again, I have no issue with those guys doing that. I did it. But I think for the betterment of to make it more commercialized, and for the reasons that we all originally got into it, is to be healthy.
Yeah.
The IMBA is, they're definitely on the right path, and I applaud them, and I want to be a part of that. You know, that process now, you know, I think it's really cool that you guys are doing that. And the fact that you guys, that organization is so much like a family, it's just a whole different feel, you know, and I think it's really beyond something.
I think this whole organization is beyond just the stage, you know, like all of us make this emphasis on the stage, but really it's beyond that, because you're on that stage for like 5-10 minutes. That's right. It. So what are you going to do after? Really, what it is, it's beyond the whole stage. It's about, you know, teaching people about, you know, health and, you know, longevity and all that. Not just, you know, hey, you're going to get on stage. So what? You get on stage, look, you get on stage, you win. You got your 5 minutes of fame, and then nobody knows who you are. You know what I mean? Yeah, then you're gone. You know what I mean? Like later, like people are not even going to care about you. So if you hurt yourself to get a trophy, is that worth it to you?
Right.
You know exactly. What I mean?
And it might be. So, and it might be. It might be. That, there might be people out there. It might be. And that's fine.
And to some people, it's fine. And that's fine for you. But good luck with that. You know, for me, I want to be healthy. I want to do this, you know, for the long time. And I want to be able to, you know, teach the people, you know, what's right and what's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah. If you choose that, look, the drugs has been in the in sports for many, many years,
forever.
You know, before they even thought of me being, you know, being alive. So I can't sit here and say that, you know, we're going to change that, but we can do the best that we can to prevent at least anybody coming to our organization. That's really all we can do.
So let me ask you this, as we're wrapping this, this has been a great interview, by the way, but since we're wrapping this up, so where do you go from here? You know, like with me, I asked myself this question after I'd been in it so many years, because I like asking a question for me to answer my own question, you know?
Sure, I like
it. How do I make myself relative now that I'm 56 years old or 60 years old? Because you know what, Adrian?
I lost you.
Much passion for the sport as I did when I
first started.
Now
and so I keep asking myself, what is it? How am I going to be relative? And it's me now being that person that passes my knowledge and information forward, talking with people like yourself, because I still want to learn. I still enjoy interacting with some people like yourself because I still learn from you. I like that. It makes me feel good, you know? And if I can pass on knowledge, so what is it for? What's Adrian going to do now from this point forward? Listen, I don't know how old you are, but I can promise you, you're not getting any younger. I can tell you that.
Yeah, no, for sure I'm not getting. I just turned 42, so just
okay. So you're a young guy.
42. I'm still a young buck, I guess you can say.
Yeah, you are.
For me, you know, look at. I guess they in martial arts they have a saying. They say, in order to be a master, you have to be able to teach somebody else how to become a teacher themselves and become a master themselves. Then you can call yourself a true master. But if you can't teach anybody else the things that you know in your head, then you're not really a master of that art, right? So,
right.
So if I want to be a master, you know, be the best at what I do, and you know, in bodybuilding or just health and fitness, I need to teach enough other people to be as good as me, or if not even better, you know. Yeah. So that's why I work with, you know, different athletes. I work with your regular everyday person that just wants to be in shape, healthy. So I don't see there's really limitations, you know. Like you said, I'm still, you know, young enough that I have a lot of work to do ahead of me. I mean, I feel like I haven't even really reached my potential. You know, I'm way, way below what I think I can be. So just keep learning, you know, like yourself, keep learning from, you know, all the different, you know, competitors, from just anybody. I just want to be the best that I can be and be able to teach other people, you know, this same process where, you know, the number one thing, what are we doing as trainers, is teaching people how to become their best that they can become. That's right. Really, well, that's all we're doing. We're here to teach them on training, nutrition, lifestyle, and live the lifestyle, you know, that you say you're gonna live. You know, you can't say, oh, I'm, you know, in health and fitness, but, you know, I'm out drinking, I'm out, you know, doing all this other things.
Right.
That's why sometimes people go like, you know, oh, I can't believe it. You know, Adrian doesn't eat this, doesn't eat that. He's always so, you know, so focused on eating.
Right.
A certain way. And, you know, like all of us, every now and then we'll have, you know, a burger, we'll have certain things that maybe are not necessarily as healthy, but for the most part, you have to focus on being as healthy as you can, be the best person that you can, teach everybody. And then also, you know, be willing to learn at any age. It doesn't matter what age you are, you know.
I agree. And I can attest to that, because I'm like, you know, I'm 65 and it's still, I still learn, and I'm, you know, I love the way I look now and feel, and I'm lucky. You know, as you get older, you start really appreciating your health. And that was one of my, you know, once I came out of the sport, one of the things I made to my, I promised to myself, I said, okay, now I'm done. I don't want to compete anymore. I really know that. I don't want to. But what I want to do is I want to repay my body for all the hell that I put it through. And that was been my goal ever since then. And I'm proud to tell you, young man, that the other day I just had some tests done for insurance, you know.
Yes.
And I'm going to go ahead and brag a little bit. That doctor told me, and I didn't pay him. I want you to know that, first of all.
Okay.
And he told me.
I sent him some money. I sent him something, because I know I have this interview with him. I need him to feel good.
and he told me, he said, you have the blood panel and the workup of an 18-year-old guy. And he had no reason to tell me that, you know. I know enough about those panels. I know how to read them.
Right.
You know, it's a testament to, if you live the lifestyle that you're talking about, over time, your body will pay you back for that in spades, you know. So, and I can tell you're going to be that kind of guy. Hey, listen, is there anything that you would like to, you know, to our audience, would you like to promote your business or anything that you're doing? Feel free.
Well, I mean, for me, it's very simple, you know. If anybody wants to connect with me, Adrian Ironman on Instagram. Otherwise, my business is Impact Fit Body on Instagram. Also, that's probably the easiest way to connect with me. And, you know, you'll be seeing me around at all the shows, you know, with the IMBA, PMBA. They've been very amazing to me. And I feel like I have to keep giving back to, you know, all the people there, and then also the newcomers. You know, like you said yourself, you know, it's all about teaching all this information that, you know, you and I have, or that we acquired throughout the years. It's all about now teaching everybody else, you know, that's younger than us, so that way they can keep this alive and keep, you know,
keep the ball rolling.
Keep the ball rolling. And you know, also, you know, we got to thank, you know, Denny and his whole family for you know, having faith in you know, in this in this natural bodybuilding world, and saying that, hey, we're gonna keep this going no matter what, and we really believe so much in it that we're just gonna do it, you know. And thanks to them, you and I are connected, and they connect so many people, and there's so many great things that come just from, you know, being a part of their organization. So probably they don't even realize, but, you know, they have made so much impact on just so many of us in many different ways on all levels, not just, you know, competing, but just on all levels, you know. So thank you for, you know, having me on this podcast. I mean, I really appreciate it. This has been fun. Always love talking to like-minded people. So thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, the next time I get down to your area, I might look you up. Never know.
Anytime, right? Man. You got my information also. Anytime. Love to.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate you coming on. Seriously. I really enjoyed your interview. If you don't mind, would you mind sending me a photo of yourself signed?
Of course. Sure.
Okay.
We'll do it. Thank you.
I want to put you on my wall with everybody else.
Okay, we'll do it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast.
I'll see you down the road.
For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.